Well, you are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF, and it's not any particularly interesting specific event that occurred in history today that I knew a whole lot about, but back in, 1916, the Battle of the Somme was going on right now, so I figured I would come on and talk a little bit about the Battle of Somme, or the Somme Offensive, because that is a battle I've talked about before, and it's hugely important to World War One and history, and it's sort of, when we imagine World War One, it's what that kind of trench warfare looked like, the two sides with their trenches dug in with just miles of barbed wire in between. That's a lot of what the Somme Offensive was. But if you like these little history segments I do, first of all, you can always check them out on our website. You just go to kggfradio.com, click on the community tab, and go down to On Demand, and there you can find whatever history topic I was talking about. I do add these just as soon as I'm done with them when I have a free minute to do so. But yes, the Battle of Somme, also known as the Somme Offensive, was one of the largest battles of the First World War. It's certainly one of the nastiest in human history, actually. It was fought between July 1st and November 1st, if I remember correctly, near the Somme River, where it gets its name from. It's also one of the bloodiest military battles in history. Like I said, it's actually the second bloodiest single day in history. The only thing that beats it was the Battle of Cannae way back in the days of Hannibal. But on the first day alone, the British actually suffered about 57,000 casualties from the Battle of Somme, which was only beat by the Battle of Cannae by about 3,000, which is kind of more impressive on the Battle of Cannae because the population was so much lower. But this is still an unbelievable amount of life that was lost these days. By the end of the Somme Offensive, the Allies and Central Powers would have lost about 1.5 million. They weren't the Axis powers just yet. That was World War II. They were the Central Powers at this point. But the Somme campaign was in 1916. It was the first great offensive of World War One, and like I said, it sort of paints the picture of what we imagine when we imagine World War One battles, what they looked like. It sort of produced a more critical British attitude. Also, the British might not have been taking World War One as seriously as they needed to up until that point. They might have been pushing some of the duty, especially onto the French. And this is really the eye opener for them about how serious this war was going to be. After the Battle of the Somme, the British Army really started making major improvements into the way it conducted its army and approached tactics. There was some restructuring at the top and things like that. The French attacked at the Somme and achieved greater advances on July 1st than the British did, with far fewer casualties, but that was likely because they already had a little bit of experience from the Battle of Verdun, which is a story for another day, I suppose. But the Battle of Verdun was a French defensive maneuver where they defended a fort. I think it was a cathedral. They defended a cathedral from the Germans, who were very, very diligent in trying to attack. But it taught the French how to fight in a more modern capacity using trenches and artillery, which was really what this is the name of the game is in World War One, is how effectively can you use trench warfare and artillery. Just a quick fun fact about the Battle of Somme, actually. It was actually the first battle that an American died in because there was a U.S. citizen that was serving with British forces who was killed in the Battle of Somme. I'm not sure when or who he was, but that is the first American that technically died in World War One was in the Battle of Somme. Because of the losses that are most remembered, the first day of the Battle of Somme resulted, like I said, in about 57,000 casualties, which is greater than the total combined British casualties from the Crimean, Boer, and Korean wars. In contrast, the French, who was, they were already a little more ready for this style of warfare, they only suffered around 2,000 casualties on the first day. Just to put you in a mindset of how unprepared the British were for this style of combat. By the time all was said and done, though, there was about 500,000 British casualties, about 200,000 French casualties, and there's a lot of controversy on the number of German casualties, but they're sitting at around 500,000 as well. The major reason why this was so nasty for the British was likely a gentleman named Douglas Haig, who was the British general of the British Expeditionary Forces. He just wasn't prepared to fight in a modern capacity. He was more old school. He was a general of his time. But I guess let's just talk about how this happened. It was early 1916. The French proposed a joint venture with the British, an offensive attack on the River Somme. And because of that Battle of Verdun I was talking about, the French actually suffered tremendous losses at the Battle of Verdun. The British Army assumed the major role on the Somme offensive. So on July 1st, the British Army attacked the north portion of the River Somme with 14 infantry divisions. A division is about 10,000 men, by the way. While the French attacked the south side of the Somme with about 5 divisions. In defense, the German Army had about 7 divisions deployed. Like I said, that British attack was planned by Douglas Haig, who was not exactly ready to fight a modern war. And it didn't help that the gentleman he was planning the attacks with, he argued with, and they had different ideas on how to use artillery and what capacity artillery should be used in, things of that nature. So they had a plan that was kind of awkward in nature and not terribly consistent or terribly useful, especially to boots on the ground kind of individual. Just to speak very briefly about Douglas Haig, his biggest criticism really was that he didn't understand what it was like to be on the front lines. He was a very back lines sort of officer. Now, the artillery really was the key to this offensive. I believe artillery in World War I and World War II was responsible for about 70 to 80% of all casualties, believe it or not. And in fact, just another very quick aside, most soldiers back in World War I and World War II, when they were firing downrange, they weren't actually trying to hit anything. There was something psychological about that generation that they didn't. There was something about not wanting to kill their fellow man. There was a difficulty. So less than I think 10% were actually shooting to kill. They were just firing downrange, sort of mindlessly. But that's again another story for another day. That's why artillery casualty numbers are so high, because you know you don't see what you're shooting at. You're just shooting at grid squares on a map. But artillery was the key to this offensive, but it didn't have the ability to get through all of that barbed wire that was between the trenches and you know, get in deep enough to attack the German trenches. So this really became a big battle of attrition. And that's really why this became so nasty. And every time the British would try to push their artillery forward, the German front trenches would respond quickly enough that they could take care of the artillery. The French were a little more prepared, a little more experienced, especially from their Battle of Verdun, and their heavy artillery and their heavy artillery style was more effective. They attacked in rushes rather than timetables and getting everything prepared. They ended up capturing more ground and suffering fewer losses. But after a very long stalemate, with German army digging defenses faster than Allied attacks could take place, the Somme became a bloody battle of attrition, and eventually really just sort of became an expensive lesson in how not to mount offensive attacks. But the German army was considerably weakened, and in February of the next year actually retreated to a new, shorter, and more defensive line. So it arguably was eventually a victory for the Allies, but because the Germans were pretty considerably weakened by the Battle of the Somme, but really it was just a stalemate with no clear winner. It's just a very, very nasty battle overall. It's if you're familiar with a lot of the works of what they call the Lost Generation, that's a battle they refer to a lot. And that's not even the people that we all refer to as the Lost Generation. Even some writers that are a little more I don't know, fanciful. But J.R.R. Tolkien actually served in the Somme as a medic, I believe, and eventually got hit with a little artillery fire, something like that, and spent the rest of his military career in a hospital before he just got discharged. But just about everyone that came out alive from the Somme was pretty uniquely scarred from it, from Hemingway to James Joyce to J.R.R. Tolkien, and they ended up writing about that much later. A lot of soldiers ended up spending a lot of time in French hospitals, just getting addicted to drugs, trying to numb the pain and the things that they had seen, and it was just a nasty, nasty eye-opener for what modern warfare was going to look like. And yeah, thank you for joining me for this maybe a bit somber remembrance of the Battle of the Somme. Remember, if you like these history segments that I do, you can always go online to our website, kggfradio.com, click on the Community tab, and go down to On Demand, and you can see, I'll add something, it'll say something like Zach on the Somme, and you can listen to him there, as well as the segments I've done on, say, the Korean War or Ernest Hemingway, things like that. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.